Today on City Wrestling Radio, Mercedes Moné is All Elite. The card for WrestleMania 40 is starting to take shape. And, well, the location for WrestleMania 41, yes, 41, is also starting to make some rumblings. All that and much more today on City Wrestling Radio. Welcome to City Wrestling Radio. It is March 14th, 2024. I'm your host, Corey Smith, being joined, as always, by the dad you wish you all had. He is the man named Jose Oseguera.
Hey, how's everybody doing? How are you doing? I think it's time for some, that we handle some business, some big business.
Well, yes, I mean, AEW big business was last night, and we're going to go through the entire show, and weird show, in my opinion, right? What do you think?
You know, it gave somewhat, okay, it's an in-betweener, it's a tweener show. It gave you a little bit of the feels of a regular Dynamite, but it also gave some big-time feel, like a pay-per-view or a... No, it's not PLE here. Yeah, it gives you the vibes of, you know, like a pay show. But the pacing, the commercials, the matches.
Some of the promos.
Some of the promos and the matches not being, you know, what a usual AEW pay-per-view would be. Yeah, and your main event wasn't a main event, really.
No, it the whole card felt like, or the whole show felt a little disjointed, in my opinion. You know, especially, let's just get right into it, especially with the show kicking off. Renee Paquette backstage, and then you see this Mercedes Benz pull up, and you know, they've been hinting for weeks, not a lot, but they've been casually hinting that Mercedes Moné was signing with AEW. And I mean, I don't know, did they hint enough? You know, the numbers, I feel like going into tonight, I think Blood and Guts drew about 8,000, this drew about 7,000, so less people, but it was a hot crowd.
Hometown crowd, yeah.
Mercedes Moné then makes her appearance coming to AEW. So she comes out to this new theme. And, well, it's basically Gunther's song. It's Gunther's song. Mm. It is the same symphony number, whatever it is, Beethoven or Mozart. It's not a classical music podcast. Mm-hmm. But it's basically a remixed version of Gunther's song with a chant over it saying, CEO, CEO. What did you think of this theme coming out? What was your first impression of Mercedes Moné coming out?
I'm glad you said that. Key phrasing, first impression. First impression, I thought it was pretty cool. I kind of dug it.
I will say this. I don't like the chants on the song.
Hopefully they erase that part.
Well, then it's just Gunther's song.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Maybe they'll go a different route. But, you know, at first I liked it, right? And then she did her segment. She cut her promo. And then afterwards, I'm like, whoa, this is insane. Now she's going to dance to this every single time. And the chants are being piped in. They don't come off authentic. And it's going to get really tiring really fast.
No, absolutely.
So, yeah, I was turned off by it by the end of the night. I'll say that.
Yeah, so she comes out to the ring, and she basically it was weird because it was like she came out to like – it was like she was introducing herself for the very first time but told, you only got about 3 minutes to do it. You know, tell your whole life story, but do it in about 3 minutes because after that you got to dance some more and play your music again.
Yeah, well, you could thank O'Shea Jackson for that. Do you know about the internet, the Twitter, the X situation that happened with O'Shea this past week?
No, but I know he was on the Chris Van Vliet podcast. He's a huge wrestling fan. I know that.
Yeah, huge wrestling fan, but he was complaining that he didn't know who people were in AEW. Who is this guy? Who's this guy? Then when he would ask the internet community, IWC, I swear you suck too. When he asked the internet community, who is this guy? They all took offense. What do you mean you don't know who he is? In it plain? Don't you know? Didn't you hear the promo? So I think they did it for the sake of those type of fans and for the fans that are coming over from WWE to watch Sasha Banks return.
Yeah.
They're doing it for the benefit of those people.
Because she basically boasted her WWE career.
That mentioned the revolution. Yeah.
mentioned the Revolution, mentioning main eventing at that. Was that Hell in a Cell with Charlotte?
Yeah,
I think it was. So. But see, this is coming days after she was on. I don't know what podcast it was, but they asked her, "Hey, do you ever see yourself going back to WWE?" And she said, "Yeah, I absolutely see myself going back to WWE one day." So it's like, it seems a little weird to me to say that and then to come into AEW.
It's a very, I take it more as a swerve. You know, oh, look over here. I'm not going to be at AEW this Wednesday. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's what I took it as.
And then she begins pandering to the crowd and just like, we're going to make moments together. And I'm sorry, but I hated this. I hated the whole promo. I hated the song. I did not like the first impression I got of her in AEW. Mm-hmm. I was a Sasha Banks fan. I've always boasted for Sasha Banks. I've always went to bat for her, especially on this podcast. And, you know, to me, it's just this, it seems like she wants to come in and she wants to switch outfits a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's mentioning like Eddie Guerrero, you know, I was in this main eventing this show. I started the Revolution and we're going to make more moments, guys. To me, it felt like Stephanie McMahon was out there writing a promo, doing a corporate promo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I get what you're saying. And I can feel that. To me, what was your attitude going into it? Were you expecting anything? Were you not expecting something? You know,
I was expecting Mercedes to show up.
Okay, I mean, knowing that, right? Because it was the worst kept secret in all of pro wrestling. But what was your expectation of? You knew she was going to cut a promo. You knew she was going to touch on stuff. What did you anticipate her promo being?
I mean, I guess I didn't see. I mean, I anticipated, you know, more of coming out, calling out the women's division a little bit more. You know, maybe having more of a face off with somebody. I know we had something at the end of the night with her, you know, coming out for the save for Willow Nightingale. But to me, this just seemed a little like smiley corporate speech. And, you know, we're going to make great moments because this women's division is now turned around because I'm here.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. But okay. I guess I wasn't expecting much.
Yeah. Yeah. No, going in, my main concern was just don't sound robotic. Sound natural, be authentic. And I think for the most part, she was natural and she was somewhat authentic. Of course, she had to do the whole who am I, where am I from? Again, because of the whole situation that we talked about earlier, you have a lot of fans that are, okay, I'm going to say this. AEW fans watch both AEW and WWE.
Correct.
Can't say the same for WWE fans.
They
don't always watch AEW or any other shows for that matter. So you have to bring those guys along and start over, right? So that's what I think they were trying to do. Did it come off a little flat? Yes. How long before she turns heel? 10 minutes?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think it brings another problem up about AEW is that, and I know, sure, you're giving the fans what they want, but they just retread a lot of stuff that other promotions started doing. You know what I mean? Like this is basically Mercedes Moné is Sasha Banks. Like, let's not get it twisted. Like it's the same character. It has a different, she has a different name, but to me it's the exact same thing. And then she came in just basically saying, hey, remember like great WWE stuff I did? Yeah, man. Like we're going to do some more of that WWE stuff here.
Yeah.
And it's look at Cody Rhodes when he left WWE. Did he leave and have a mustache as stunning as mine? No. Did he leave and do Stardust? No. He went out and completely changed his character. And to me, I think that's something that a lot of people need to do going into AEW.
Okay.
Maybe putting a little bit more tweak on it, but I think that's another problem that the company's having. So but overall, like Mercedes Moné in AEW, hopefully it gives a little boost to that women's division. I was kind of hoping for maybe Britt Baker to return because she's, I guess, making the rounds on media lately saying she can't wait to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have some sort of face off there because I think that would be a great first match for her.
Too soon. Too soon.
You think? Like,
you don't want to. Willow first. You do Willow first and then work your way up. Sarah Deeb. Thunder Rosa.
Oh God. Well, if that happens, then I feel sorry for Mercedes because someone's going to get sandbagged in that match. But
it'll be such a great podcast.
Yeah. So then we have backstage of Renee Paquette. She's back there with Samoa Joe. Joe basically is talking about his next match coming up with Wardlow, saying he has not forgotten about what the Undisputed Kingdom did to him. And then we have story time with Adam Cole, baby, giving us the whole, like, this was a really good video package.
Yeah.
With Adam Cole basically in a dark library somewhere, reading off this story of Wardlow, but more of like a Game of Thrones style, you know, like he rose to his own kingdom and the great warrior Wardlow overcame such obstacles. And I thought it was just, oh, so good. And then it's just after that, we have the match, and it's exactly what I was talking about last week. You know, you have Wardlow built up for this, you know, he's joined the Undisputed Kingdom. He's going to win the title and he's going to give it to Adam Cole. And what happens? He just loses. And that's that. So what happens to Wardlow now, you know?
Yeah. Back to the back of the line. Ugh. God, I will say this, that they did do a good job of making the appearance that Joe was the smaller guy.
You know, absolutely.
Had to climb on Wardlow's back and stuff. That was pretty cool. Good touch. Good touch.
Joe's a fucking massive guy. Like, let's not get it wrong.
Yeah.
There's a couple like angles I saw and I was like, Jesus Christ. Like it's not like people rip on him because people have said in the past, like, oh, he's out of shape or whatever. But like, some of those angles you see, like, that guy is pure muscle underneath a thin layer of of warmth, I will say.
McDonald's fries. Yeah, I got you.
But in this match, Wardlow fakes an injury, gouges the eyes of Joe, hits Joe with a knee strike. Joe kicks out, and then Joe dodges a senton. Joe strikes Wardlow in the corner, powerbomb to Joe. Then eventually Joe locks in the coquina clutch and Wardlow passes out. Like I said, it was a pretty good match, but like I said, where does Wardlow go from here?
I don't know.
Good match, though, right?
Yeah, good match. It was a good match. Fun. I would have preferred this to be the main event, but.
Well, you know, and it probably could have, too, you know, put this on last, the world title, as opposed to a non-title one-on-one match. Like,
yeah, this is totally the Monet show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I wonder if that's how it's going to be.
I better not here be. On out. Yeah.
I hope not. I hope she's utilized well. I'm not sitting here trying to shit on her and trying to say like, oh, she's horrible for the business. Get her out of here. Da, da, da. I'm just saying I don't like how she's being utilized tonight. And I want to see this change already.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So next up, we have Alex Marvez. He's backstage with the Elite asking Okada why he joined. Basically Nick Jackson starts going off on Alex Marvez saying like, you know, how dare you address him by saying Okada, pronounce it by his name, the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada. And, that's when Matthew then tells, Marvez that Okada has a ton of reasons plus 14 million other reasons why he came and joined the Elite. That's when Okada calls out Penta, Pac, and Eddie Kingston and tells Marvez to wish Matt Jackson a happy birthday, and not just wish him a happy birthday, but sing him happy birthday. He starts singing, and it was a funny segment. And you know what? What do you think of Okada so far in AEW?
So far, so good. I mean, there's still, you know, a lot of stories to tell. I don't think they're overusing him or over pushing. So that's good news. They're not shoving him down everybody's throats as, you know, the next greatest thing. You know, it's a lot to be determined because the American crowd is fickle.
Very fickle. And the one thing about it is that every time Okada, every time that coin drops, every time that guy gets in the ring, that crowd goes crazy for him. You know, it's not like they're booing him like, oh, you knocked out Eddie Kingston. Boo you. You know, it's more so like, we love this guy. We are going to cheer him no matter what.
Yeah.
So maybe having him as a heel, I don't know. Like,
that's a great idea. Yeah.
Me personally, that's what I think.
Maybe the Bucks take it too far. And who's the one that goes too far? Nick or Matt?
It's Nick.
Yeah, Matthew always has to calm him down. Ooh, he's the, you know, good guy, bad cop. He's the good cop. So, you know, maybe we'll reach a point where Nick just unleashes on Okada and he decides to leave.
Yeah.
It's an idea.
So then we have the Elite versus Eddie Kingston, Penta, and the returning bastard Pac. This is Pac's first match since July of last year. I believe, was it when Gravity? Because remember, everyone was like, oh, Pac versus Gravity. Gravity didn't forget him. I don't know. Anyways,
No welcome back chance? What the hell?
All right, my cat is getting on the...
Oh, guest appearance.
I got to maneuver this around him so he doesn't hit any buttons that I don't want him to hit. Say hi, everyone. This is my cat. Okay. His name is Cheeto.
Oh, he looks like one. Perfect choice.
Okay, now you're just being too much now. You're being too much. Get down here, buddy.
He does it because he knows he's not allowed. Just like children.
Well, he's 1 year old, so I think that's equated to a 15-year-old child.
So he's being rebellious.
So rebellious. Mm-hmm. So let's see. Where was I? Okay, so.
Penta's first match. I mean, Pac's first match.
Penta, come on. Get that right.
Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, it looks like you were misled by some bad notes. So Okada, he's teasing a one-on-one with Kingston to start the match, but quickly tags out. Kingston and Okada eventually did get in the ring together, trading chops and strikes. Eventually, Okada dodged a back fist and countered into a DDT, but Pac flew in with an enziguri. Matthew then came in and laid out Pac with a Casadora facebuster. That's when Penta connected with a Canadian destroyer. And my cat is now chewing my headphone. This is a horrible cat. A bad cat.
He'll be all right.
I can't wait for my girlfriend to come back home to distract him when I do these shows. Penta connected on a Canadian destroyer. That's when Nicholas hit a super kick on Penta, took his belt off to whip him, but Kingston took Nicholas out. Matthew took the ref to distract him. Nicholas hit a punk kick low blow to Okada, or sorry, to Kingston. That's when Okada got the Rainmaker for the pin and the win. Another great match, but I don't know. What did you think of this match?
Cool match. Can I just say that, you know, I love Eddie. Who doesn't love Eddie? But, and all wrestlers do this. I don't know why I'm being nitpicky this time, but these chops is really, they're really wearing on me. Like if I'm receiving them. Yeah. I like to see a little bit more versatility, and I know Eddie's well versed with plenty of moves that he could use. He doesn't have to rely on that old, you know, rough and tough, smack him up type of, you know, right. Style that he's going for nowadays. Right. I'm just a little over it. That's all. But you know, everybody does that. Everybody has their move set.
Well, it seems like once, I feel like it's once like Walter Gunther started, you know, making that chop famous around the world. Mm-hmm. It seems like everyone started to do the chop. It started laying in even harder. I mean, every time Bryan Danielson is in a match now, his chest is purple.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it is what it is. Oh, this freaking cat.
Chuck.
I love you, buddy. I love you, buddy, but you got to stay down here. Okay. Okay. I'm trying to do this. All right.
So, edits galore.
Hopefully it gets some views. Hopefully people are like, yeah, we love this cat stuff.
Dude, cats attract the clicks.
All right. Maybe that'll be in the pot. Oh, jeebony Christmas. Buddy, buddy, stop it. I love you, but here, go. No. Oh, my God. This cat is just doing too much. Well, what's worse, the meowing or the clawing at my headphone?
It looks like the clawing is
okay. Yeah,
we can all put up with the meowing every once in a while.
You're out.
Oh no! Corey Smith exits the cat, kicks him out of the cage. Will the cat return? Will Cheeto make his appearance?
I've only had to kick one person out of the City Wrestling Radio studio before. Well, not the studio, but.
Yeah.
Damn. And anyways.
Callback.
So anyways.
It was a good match.
Where are we at? Yeah. Good match.
It was a good match.
Good match. Yeah. My cat thought it was a great match too.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Tony Schiavone in the ring with Will Ospreay. Ospreay massively over with the crowd.
Massively.
He starts talking up against his match against Bryan Danielson at AEW Dynasty coming up in about a month now? Yeah, 4/21.
4/21. Get it.
Yeah. The day, you know, I know, man. Hang out on Saturday, 4/20.
Then rest and recover. One more.
Or just keep it going, man, and just watch some wrestling the next day. So Ospreay cuts a fiery promo saying this match is to prove who the best wrestler in the world is and who the best promotion in the world is. And his name is Will Ospreay, and he's on another level, bruv.
Bruv. And the crowd jumps on it.
I mean,
that's a new thing.
That was the thing. It was a hot crowd.
It was.
It was a quieter crowd or a smaller crowd than the last time they were there, like I said, but very over.
Yeah. Yeah. My only nitpicky concern that I have with Will Ospreay is that I hope his promos become a little bit more nuanced and not the same old screamy bruv over and over. I'm going to beat your ass. I'm the best in the world. I'm the Billy Goat bruv.
Yeah, cutting that fiery promo every single time is going to wear out. I mean,
yeah.
I hate to use this as an example, but look at the Ultimate Warrior. You know what I mean? Like, the first time he came out when you're a kid, you're like, oh my God, who is this guy running to the ring, shaking the ropes like a maniac, like a warrior who is the ultimate version of a warrior.
Yeah.
But, you know,
to be fair, the Ultimate Warrior stopped making sense around, you know, 2 years deep.
Very true. But I'm talking about like him coming to the ring, running and doing his whole shtick. You know what I mean? Like it was great. It was fun the first 6 months, you know?
Yeah.
And then eventually it just wore thin. So,
yeah.
No, I agree with you. I hope to see Will Ospreay get some more time on the mic and also show more of his skills.
Learn a little nuance. Yeah. That's all. That's all I ask. Everything else is perfection.
Next up, we have Jay White defeating Darby Allin. And well, he's got a clean win on him. Darby comes out to the ring with his face wrapped up like he's the Invisible Man. It was kind of a cool look for him. I guess he's going to start sporting the baseball bat now. It was like handed over to him. Sting left it for him at the last show.
Yeah.
Was that in like Sting's will? Like,
yeah.
Like before, you get my bat, Darby. Like
you get bat number 475.
Was it one of the bats that was like hanging in the locker room a couple weeks ago?
It probably was.
See, I do hope these two work together because they did work very well together, Jay White and Darby Allin.
Yeah.
Hopefully Darby makes it back from Everest. I mean,
knock on wood.
People do die there. Like,
they
do.
No, that's,
I mean, most of the people make it.
Yeah.
Well, I think most make it. That's the statistic is most make it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even remember a number. I want to say it was between maybe 18 and 10 that don't make it.
But he's got money and
knock on wood. Yeah, and you know what? He should know when to call it quits. I hope.
that doesn't sound like Darby to me, but
Especially with that one bump he did today. Ugh.
Well, he continuously uses his body as a weapon, those multiple dives to the outside, just throwing his body into multiple barricades. Eventually White attempted a suplex from the apron back into the ring, but Allin floated over into a scorpion death drop for two as White got the foot on the rope. Jay then crawled to the edge of the ring. Darby went for a coffin drop, but White dodged and allowing Darby to fall to the outside. And missed coffin drop to the edge of the ring, the hardest part of the ring. And he rolled back into the ring, beating the 9 count, but Jay White hit the Blade Runner for the pin and the win. So after the match, the Bang Bang Gang laid their belts down and tried to shake Darby's hand, but it was a ruse and they beat him down, eventually trying to pilmanize his leg. That's when the Acclaimed came out for the save. And they helped Darby out, and that's when Jay White beat down on Daddy Ass, and the Bang Bang Scissor Gang is no more.
I told the internet community, don't worry, this isn't going to last long. It did not last long at all.
And to me, it just didn't have like the build. Like it was just like Max Caster fucking up on raps for a couple weeks. And then all of a sudden they're like, what? You beat down on this wrestler? We don't approve of that. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. To me, it's just, it's a little weird. It seems a little sudden. I think they could have got a couple more weeks out of it, especially since they made the t-shirts.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this was destined to fail from the beginning.
Yeah. The Bang Bang Scissor Gang. I mean, it's cool. Where was it going to go? You know,
you have some super, super far over baby faces joining up with some super, super evil heels. It didn't mesh.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. Next up, but do you think they should like just go ahead and unify these titles?
They should, if they want to, sure, go ahead. I mean, I don't see how a trios title is important to AEW. I think it fits more the role of a Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
but what you should do is dismantle the Golden Bang Bang Gun Club. I'm not talking about the Scissor Bang Bang. I'm talking about the guns with Bullet Club Gold. That should be disbanded too.
Well, are they still Bullet Club? Like
they mentioned today, and it's still on the you know how that the LEDs around the ring. Yeah. It still mentions Bullet Club Gold.
Okay,
because what's his name? His foot's like busted or something.
Oh, Juice.
Juice, yeah,
Juice Robinson. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess when he comes back, they'll have a lot more manpower and a lot more charisma. But
turn on those dudes. Turn on the guns.
Jay and Juice?
Yeah.
Yeah. Next up, we have the FTW champion Hook and Chris Jericho. What do they call him? Calling him Jerahook? Or no, Lion Hook.
Lion Hook.
Yeah, Jerahook would be more of a WWE name. Like Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, right. But the entire match, they're trying to get that name over. Just like, Lion Hook this, Lion Hook that. And it's just like, I get it.
Lion Hook. And it ends up only happening. It looks like it's just going to be a name that was used for one night only.
Well, I mean, is it though? Or are they going to be teaming? Because what I've heard is that Hook is supposed to be replaced because Sammy Guevara being suspended from AEW. Hitting Jeff Hardy with an extra move after a potential concussion. Mm-hmm. He was suspended, and now Hook is going to be taking his place in the tag tournament. So what I'm thinking is going to happen, because Jericho then in the next segment or one of the next segments says, "Oh yeah, Hook, I see what it's like tagging with you. Now I want to see what it's like to fight against you."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming they're going to have a match, and it's going to be a banger of a match. And once Hook is about to win, somebody's going to come out and attack them both. And they're going to stand tall together being like, "Yeah, Lion Hook."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish it wasn't that obvious, but it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing about AEW. Sometimes they're just like way too obvious, you know?
I don't know. Yeah.
Renee's backstage with Kyle O'Reilly, and he says there were days where he didn't know if he was going to wrestle again, and he didn't know if or there were days where he couldn't even like pick up his daughter because of his injury. And says the roster is the most competitive it's been it's ever been, and then challenges Brian Keith to a match, hoping that he will get him back to in-ring shape. And that's when Roderick Strong walks in and just basically gives Kyle O'Reilly his blessing to compete on his own. This is weird.
Right? Yeah.
Is this not weird? Like, Kyle O'Reilly's coming back as this baby face who's like, "I don't know if I have it in me to still compete. I had diabetes. I got injured. I don't know if I could do this, but I'm going to try." And everyone's really behind him. And then the heels are like, "Yeah, dude, it's cool. You go ahead and do that." And then Kyle's like, "Thanks, bro." Like, is Kyle O'Reilly supposed to be a heel or is he supposed to be a face? I'm not quite sure on this right now.
I think it's a TBD for now. I think they're trying to push. I think they're trying to pull the veil over our eyes, saying, "Oh, he's face." But I think they might go the Adam Cole route. I remember he was screaming, "Adam."
Yeah.
Funny how this segment starts with him screaming, "Kyle,
Kyle." Yeah. And I mean, it feels like. That they're trying to save Kyle to join the Undisputed Kingdom if they want to go that route.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to making a decision on which way he should go. Like, to me, it should have went one of two ways. Roderick should have come in and be like, hey man, you want to do this on your own, but I think us having your back is going to be better for you. And, or it should have been like Kyle O'Reilly saying like, you know, like, yeah, like, let me join you guys. Let me be part of the Undisputed Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, to me, it seems like the scene, the, I guess, mid-card scene, where Kyle would be at, is a little bloated right now. And if it's going to lead to a match with Roderick, then why not just lead to a match with Roderick?
Step on the gas now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how far are we away from All In?
What is that? Memorial? No, that's Double or Nothing. Memorial Day weekend. I'm guessing July, probably. July or August.
Then we got a lot of time to build some story.
Okay. Well.
Not looking forward to it?
It seems like they're just being wishy-washy with it. You know, it's not like, mm-hmm. like, just do another storyline until then. You know? Stop inserting Roderick into it. Just have Kyle O'Reilly go out. Have him face Brian Keith, and then, I don't know, have John Moxley come out and be like, oh, you don't think you have it in you to compete? Well, I think you do, you bastard. And then they start brawling, and then they have a pay-per-view match.
Okay, yeah.
So, I don't know. Just my thought. But who am I?
Your trusted opinion here on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm such a reliable critic of this sport. I need to make it heard. Anyways, that's when Renee's backstage with a Lion Hook, and he challenges Hook next week. Willow Nightingale defeated Riho in the main event, which was, like I said, a weird.
Oh, I think we froze.
Hello.
Okay. You there? Yeah, you went all robotic on me, and now you're back.
You disappeared for a second too. It's all right. We're back. And so main event, Willow Nightingale defeated Riho. Willow getting a clean win on Riho because Riho missed a charging knee strike as Nightingale rose to her feet, threw a wild lariat before lowering her straps. Riho hit a jackknife pin, but Nightingale rolled through into a doctor bomb for the victory.
Ah, there it is. I mean,
I think Willow Nightingale is $1 million, and I feel like they should have put Hello?
Yeah, I'm back.
All right, let me check. If it's not the internet, it's a cat. If it's not a cat, it's the internet.
I love it.
Anyways, so I just don't know why they haven't put pump the gas on Willow yet. You know, put that TBS title on her, put the women's title on her, do something with her. Because, yeah, like,
over.
She has one of the so over.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand it. What do you think of Willow Nightingale?
I thought she was getting prepped to get into a real beef with Statlander. I don't know what happened there. Like, and I don't know why she didn't show up. Weird stuff. Yeah, I do wish she would finally get pushed. You know, not to the you don't have to push everybody to the moon, right? But you know, give her light a fire underneath her.
Give her something, because it seems like they were building that Statlander thing, and now all of a sudden, you know, Mercedes is coming in for the save. And they could still do that, because after this match, Julia Hart and Sky Blue attacked Willow, and Mercedes mm-hmm. came in for the save when her partner Statlander was nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, which is odd.
So, I mean, they could go that route, have, you know, Mercedes go after the TBS title and then have Willow face Statlander.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. But the show ended with CEO chants. And I mean, I don't know if those were piped in or not, but
yeah, I think it was 50-50.
Yeah.
I think they're piped in. I think they're embedded into they have to rip that. Like you said earlier, though, it would turn into Gunther's theme. But yeah, they have to rip those piped in CEO chants.
They're so pronounced, too.
Yeah. Rely on your crowd. Trust your crowd.
Yeah. It seems like they didn't. And they just were like, you know what? No one's going to chant. But it was an overcrowd. They would have done it anyways.
Yes, yes.
So, like I said, it was the Mercedes Moné show. And if they want to continue to boost this women's division, they need to do a lot more than just inserting someone who wants to just change outfits multiple times in a night.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. And she will. I have faith. They'll do it.
Yeah, sure. She's had great matches before. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I just, I don't know. Since she's left WWE, I haven't seen anything that's been, you know, knock it out of the park for her.
Okay. I was going to say something, but I'm going to keep it in.
Why? Why?
Okay. I'm going to say it. She's never been your true home run hitter.
Right.
As a professional wrestler, and I don't like, you know, talking much trash about wrestling. Who am I kidding? I'm on a fucking podcast. Anyway, she always needs the right partner to help her shine. Don't see her as a ring general, as they say. I see her more as she needs the right dance partner to have a great show. That being said, there's plenty of dance partners here in AEW she hasn't danced with. There's plenty of chances to show what type of a performer you really are.
Yeah. And like, look at her opponent she had in WWE. It was always Becky. It was always Charlotte. It was always
Charlotte. Bayley. It was always Charlotte. It was always Charlotte. It was always Charlotte.
Charlotte. It was always Charlotte.
Yeah.
It's weird, but yeah, I mean, hopefully she makes AEW some money.
Monet.
I was kind of hoping for that theme, the money theme that she had in New Japan, but
oh man, I love that.
It was better than this one, in my opinion.
Maybe that's why I love it so much.
Next up, getting some news. Let's talk some WrestleMania, shall we? Because this week we found out that Minneapolis has the city of Minneapolis, not the country or world in another universe, has submitted its bid for next year's WrestleMania. That'd be WrestleMania 41. This was reported by the Minneapolis Star Tribune on Wednesday that Minnesota Sports and Events have submitted a pitch to hold WrestleMania 41 at the U.S. Bank Stadium. Now, this isn't the first time I've heard Minneapolis or Minnesota being discussed as a possible site for WrestleMania, because last year, Patrick Kessler of CBS Minneapolis reported that the city was among the finalists for next year's event. If selected, it would mark the first time WrestleMania would be held in Minneapolis. WWE has not confirmed anything. Apparently, you know, someone from the Minneapolis Sports and Events Group, the president, the chief executive officer, the CEO of them, told Star Tribune that the process was, quote, very competitive. So Jose, I know WrestleMania 40 is just weeks away. You know, we're getting ready for Cody Rhodes to finish his story. What's going to happen for 41? Where do you want to see 41 being held? I know you got really no skin in the game. It's not like it's coming back to San Francisco anytime soon. Eventually, fingers crossed. maybe 43, but not 41. Where do you want to see 41 being held?
Oh man, I would love Oracle Park, San Francisco, California.
Levi's. It's going to be Levi's. Come on.
I know, but a brother can wish, right? I would love it here.
Oh, how about Rumble at Oracle?
Well, that'd be cool.
That'd be
because beautiful. The Rumble will take place when it gets dark. Ooh.
Yeah. WrestleMania.
I like bigger markets for WrestleMania. How big of a market is Minneapolis? I'm not that big. Do I want to travel there and watch Mania? Probably not. I'll probably stay in the comfort of my own home. Early spring, it's still pretty cold out there.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming it's an indoor stadium though, right?
I'm assuming so. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I don't like the feel. Okay, who am I kidding? I don't care where WrestleMania is at. I'm going to watch anyway. But I get a cooler vibe when it's in an outdoor stadium.
Yeah.
You know, just the transition of light to dark is I always found really cool.
What's up with the Legion Stadium? Is that the one in Vegas? Right? Are they outdoor or are they indoor? Or are they?
I think it's a dual.
Okay.
I think don't quote me on this because it's the Raiders and fuck the Raiders. No, I think it's, you know, one of those that have a retractable roof because let's face it, it's a goddamn desert.
Yeah, I think it should be held in Vegas. I mean, I know I'm being a little bit more, you know, skin in the game because I want to go to Mania next year and I want it to be in Vegas. And I think after this year, after doing that press conference in Vegas, I think that should be a continued tradition. I think next year they should have the press conference wherever 42 is going to be held. And because it kind of builds up momentum, you know, like, oh, they were here last year for the press conference. Now they're here this year for the actual show. I think that would be a good, especially since Vegas, it's fucking Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Yeah. The last Mania to be held there was WrestleMania 9.
Oh, dude.
They got to wash that from my brain. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, they so do.
Or,
and I had to watch it twice. God damn it.
Or double down on it and completely go full togas with everyone.
Oh, just take it back to Caesars.
Yeah. Well, not at Caesars, but okay, you know, have someone come out, like have a little Caesar-esque type vibe going on. You know what I mean?
How does he do that?
Oh God, dude, Booker. Oh God, that guy is fucking crazy. I was watching NXT this week, and there was a point where I was just like, I have no idea what Booker just said, because he just kept making noises. Because that's what you want to do when you shuck it, duck it, quack quack. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about, dude? Entertaining, yes.
Yeah.
Does he make any sense? No,
half
he doesn't.
Half the time.
So, speaking of WrestleMania 40, the main events, they're pretty set in stone now. Night two, of course, we knew about Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. But night one, it's now official. It's now a tag team match with Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins taking on the Bloodline. That's The Rock and Roman Reigns. Because this all came to be this last week on SmackDown when Seth and Cody showed up to answer the challenge. Eventually, Rock did call, Seth a cross-dresser? Mm-hmm. And Roman called him a clown. And Rock's kind of leaning into these. Rock's getting a little out there with his promos. Calling everyone. I mean, it's one thing to call everyone meth heads in the crowd.
Yeah, crackheads. Oh.
And then in the next week, he's like calling Seth a crossdresser.
I thought it was Roman.
Was it? I thought Roman called McClown and then Rock called him a crossdresser.
Whatever it is.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I forgot what year it was.
Yeah. That's when Rock proceeded to tell Cody that he was a mistake because he was born 20 years after his siblings. And then Cody, well, he just slaps the shit out of The Rock.
Oh, that was slap heard around the world. I loved it.
What do you think about a tag team match? Or not just a tag team match, because we saw that last year for the titles. Mm-hmm. And it was a great build. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defeating Jimmy and Jey Uso for the tag titles. Mm-hmm. Really went nowhere. But it was a great main event, or it was a great main event for night one. But this, however, this is a non-title match. There's, mm-hmm. I know there are stakes, but I don't know. To me, it seems like that main eventing a show is a little lesser to me. What do you think of this match main eventing night one of Mania?
Okay. I get it. It's The Rock. He wants to be at WrestleMania. He's going to be at WrestleMania.
Right.
Hear me out, Rock. Hear me out, Dwayne. What if we had WrestleMania build on The Rock's own show, aka SmackDown?
Yeah.
What if this main evented the end of SmackDown the night before WrestleMania day one?
Yeah.
And then you have all this heat building up for Seth and McIntyre, and they can highlight day
one. Yeah.
And then you can have Cody and Roman night two main event. I understand what they're doing by having The Rock there and having him, you know, he's a huge star, but his time is gone and past. It's time to let our time go. Oh, whatever. Seth.
Yeah. And you know, it's the one thing is that, like you say, SmackDown every year, they're doing this thing where it's now WrestleMania SmackDown on Friday night. Cause it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's now a 3-day thing.
Yes.
That makes more sense to me. I know it'd be kind of weird to have Rock's first match back in I don't know how many years be on a SmackDown rather than Mania, but they could have did this in Perth, you know what I mean, the tag match.
Mm-hmm.
To me, cool. It's going to be a good match. I like it. Feel like they could have positioned that somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because there's so many other people on that could be on the card that night.
Yeah, totally. And we know for a fact that Bloodline is going to win. We night know one, for a fact that night two is going to be, free for all. We know this.
Yeah.
Rock's going to be your attraction. He's going to be, you know, what brings in the butts or whatever. But you can have him on SmackDown and not lose anything on night one.
And so your opinion right now, do you think Rock is playing, like, is he playing Roman, or is he fully invest? Like, do you think he's fully against Cody, or do you think he's playing Roman?
All this grandpa stuff, you know, when he does this and he went like this, he did this and he went like this, that makes me believe that he's going to turn on Roman. I might even see a full blown turn, because, you know, they're talking about this whole Avengers thing, right? You have so many options of who can turn on Cody.
Right.
You have Seth, you have Jay. And who else is with that Fantastic Four? Whoever it is.
Yeah.
They can all turn on him at a dime. The only ally he really does have is, you know, a fan of his dad. And
gotta
that's
love,
Rock.
Gotta.
So that could be.
Wow. You know. You completely cut out there. Wait. So, okay. You said who can turn on Cody.
Now you froze on me.
Internet is horrible.
Awesome.
I am so glad I'm switching to Sonic Internet soon.
Okay.
I'm done with Xfinity. Okay. So who can turn on Cody, Jose?
Jay and Seth can both turn on Cody.
You think? And then stack Jay, the cards against him?
Jay still has... We have to see when this match with Jimmy's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah,
Jay is bloodline by bloodline.
Oh, absolutely. He will always be bloodline. I still think having Seth and Jay in Cody's, not in his corner, but, you know, once the bloodline comes out and they start, you know, causing shit in the match, putting the mountain against Cody, you know, out comes Seth, out comes Jay Uso, and out goes my internet yet again. Wow, this is horrible.
It's not me, is it? Okay, I do not have touch up my camera.
yeah, you're still kind of frozen. There you go. Well, you know what? There's a lot going on in Mania, and it's in a few weeks. Mania is in a few weeks, and, you know, we'll be talking all about it eventually.
There'll be more opportunities.
So I think
more opportunities.
I think because my internet probably is crapping all over us, I think that does it for us here today.
Yeah, we'll try again.
See you guys next week. For City Wrestling Radio, I'm Corey Smith.
I'm Jose.
And we will see you next time. Take care. Have a wonderful evening. Bye.
Bye-bye.